dive into the shallow end of pop culture and into the deep end of fashion with It's Not That Serious, the podcast. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Lena.
And we're coming to you every week for a lighthearted take on celebrities, fashion trends, and the belief that life is best lived with a touch of humor.
It's not just a podcast. It's your VIP pass to a world where seriousness takes a back seat to glam, gossip, and giggles.
Hi, Diva Queens.
Hey, my dear Diva Queens.
We're back again.
We're back. Welcome back to my home.
To Lena's home. Oh my God. We're attempting to do this again on video.
We're really just struggling with this, you know, but we're learning along the way. And that's what's important, right,
Andrea? We're learning a new job skill, technically. This was part of your ins last week, wasn't it? So
yes,
this adds to it. Your videographer, sound setup. We've been literally working through technical difficulties all day. Again.
We're going to learn one day.
You know what it is? My dream is that we have a studio and we don't have to break all the stuff down every time.
Yeah.
That would be like ideal because you just leave everything where it is and you get up and you sit down and you turn on the thing. It's done. Yeah. But part of the technical difficulties today was my fault. It was really big. A huge part was my fault because I forgot the stupid adapter. If you can't see, there's a thing on the floor that we record into. You need an SD adapter.
But, you know, we move on.
We move on.
And we look at the bright side.
I didn't even look to see what I look like. I'm so sorry if I look
bad. Yeah. We're a little off today. We're also not having great skin weeks.
I look okay. It's fine. Bad. Yes.
My skin, you probably can't see it because I put a pound of makeup, but I have the biggest pimple I probably ever had in my life.
You would say hands down.
Hands down. Probably biggest pimple I ever had in my life. And it is in the entryway of my nostrils.
I had one of those ones like this. And I have a scar to this day. I think I was like 13 when it happened.
I was crying real tears.
When you popped it?
When I popped it.
You know, I was telling Lena about the worst pimple I ever had was actually like here on my body. Like
on your hip.
On my hip, basically. I don't know how that started, but I was like messing with a lump. And I kept like pushing it until it finally came to the surface. When it finally did, we had gone to see Stevie Nicks during the day. Like that morning I had been messing with it. And then I told myself, like, don't touch it all day because you're going to be out in the field, like watching a concert and sweating and drinking. We went to Palm Beach. We came back. It was probably like midnight. That day was like nuts. Like so many things happened in that day. I like was wearing a dress all day. I lifted the dress and the thing was like ready to go. And I knew it was. And so I like squeezed it and it exploded everywhere.
I, before yesterday, would probably say you're exaggerating when you say everywhere, but the way that my pimple came out.
No, it sounds like bullshit until you experience it. And that was like the first, that was the initial, I'm so sorry. This is horrible. This is my interest. I'm sorry on our podcast. But, and so the first blow, I was like, there's more. And then my husband was there and you know, we're besties.
That's gang gang.
He's gang gang. He sees me. We see each other.
We see each other.
So he's like, let's get the camera. And my best friend was there and he actually was like waiting to like go home in an Uber. And he saw like we were setting up to film like the pop. And he's like, I gotta go. He literally ran out of the house at like 12:31 a.m. ran out, like left the door open, got in his car and left us. And I'm like, bye bye.
Listen,
bye sis. We had to do the big squeeze. I have to show you this video. The big squeeze. I can't post it everywhere because I something about it. I was like, oh, when it came out, you could literally hear it come out. I'll show you one day.
No, listen, if you're into it, you're into it. But when you're not, you're just totally out and we get it. But me, I'm going to need to pop that pimple.
Yeah, I'm going to need to pop that pimple. If you have a pimple, I'm going to need to pop it. I'm the excavator at my job. Like, if I see you have a blackhead, I'm like, babe, it's coming out
like today. Like, we're getting that out.
Yep, today. And wow. I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Good friend.
I am a good friend.
That's what friends are for.
I'm a Leo. I'm a great friend.
Yes.
I'm a great fucking friend.
Samsies. Have we mentioned that we, again, because I think only the first episode, but we're both Leos.
Both Leos, both Colombian. The other day, someone's like, you're Colombian. I'm like, my whole life, babe. My whole f-ing life.
Been Colombian. Been. Born Colombian.
And will die it.
Mm-hmm.
How was your week?
My weekend was very cute. Okay. Remember last week we talked about Serena Williams' new makeup line, Win?
Yes.
So, like, in the middle of I think it was maybe even that evening after we recorded, I got an email from Slice Girls that said, Slice Girls is the organization that my friend started that I play tennis with, basically saying that I'm invited to the store in-store launch of Win along with a comped brunch.
Yay!
Woo! We love that. We love the comped brunch. So Serena inherently doesn't do anything outside of Palm Beach. She's very like, if I'm doing anything, I'm doing it in Palm Beach. Any shoot, I've been on like two shoots with Serena, and it's always in Palm Beach. So the in-store was in Palm Beach at Ulta, and the brunch was at Avocado Grill in
Palm Beach. I didn't know you went to Palm Beach.
Yeah.
You drove?
My friend Carol drove.
You should have
done left at 8 in the morning. Uh-huh. We had to be at Ulta at 9:30 a.m. sharp because we had like a very exclusive 15 minutes prior with Serena.
Oh, you had 15 minutes with her?
Yeah. Like not... We just had 15 minutes before like the actual store opened for like the general public.
How long was she there with you guys?
She might have done like an hour and a half, maybe. Yeah, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours in the store. She was checking people out. Like she was dancing.
Was it just Slice Girls?
She was having a blast. No, it was like a...
an influencer thing?
Well, not necessarily influencers. There was a couple influencers, but they definitely let people line up outside of the store to like let the general public. I guess like local people knew about it and like decided to come. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, and the brand rep was there, like the VP of like product design and things like that, and she was there. Like I got color matched.
You're wearing the lippy right now.
I'm wearing the lippy. I'm wearing Arrive. By Win, by Serena Williams.
We love it.
Yeah, it was really cute. And then we went to brunch, and the brunch was delish.
She was there.
No. It was just a brunch sponsored by Win for Slice Girls.
That is so nice.
Yeah, because we got connected with the social media director, and she put it together for us.
I feel like
we got gifted like little gift bags.
That's
Serena.
So cute.
Serena gave it to us. Personally,
did she give you tennis advice?
It was cute. Well, she asked us, she was like, oh, you guys, your name is Slice Girls. She's like, do you guys use the slice? She's like, I had the best slice and I never used it. I was like, okay, girl.
Wow.
I love that.
That's crazy. Yeah.
She complimented us on our outfits because the girls, the Slice Girls, the founders, they, in the email, they were like dressed like, you know, chartreuse. Black and white.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Chartreuse is like tennis ball color.
Yeah.
So we all kind of like color coordinated and she was super hype about it.
Yeah, because you guys looked like you matched the packaging. Yeah. I noticed that in the picture. We'll post the picture in the carousel.
Yeah, it was cutie.
That's super cute.
We caught a film on Friday that was basically Pat Fields' documentary.
Oh, really?
It's called Happy Clothes, and it's Happy Clothes, a story about Patricia Fields. So it was cool. They followed her around like as she was kind of doing this show, doing a couple shows that she's doing. They talked about when she did Sex and the City. They talked about like all kinds of stuff. She's interesting. Like I kind of knew she was interesting, but like You got to see a little bit more personality than you usually see, I guess. It was pretty cool. I mean, not as iconic as like Diana Vrila or anything, but you know.
Yeah.
That was cool. I'm glad we caught it.
That's good. I feel like anything, like, it's kind of like educational fashion history. Know your sources.
Yes.
Always that.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the clown party.
I saw your look.
So my friend did our makeup and it was like a whole thing. So we got
your
ready.
Your makeup looked fly.
Yeah, my friend's really good. She's a really talented makeup artist. She did both of myself. And then if you saw my other friend in the white face with like the blood, she did his as well. And so we got ready in Miami. We stopped at my house and then went there. It was like a whole thing because there was like traffic on the way. Like, why is there traffic every hour of every day in Miami lately?
It's impossible.
And then it was in Wilton Manors, which like is in Fort Lauderdale. It's literally called the Gayberhood. It's like a gay neighborhood. And it was at this place called the Eagle, which is, I didn't know. I was like, we're going to a gay bar, whatever. It was like a gay, male gay leather bar.
Mm.
So
what does the leather bar mean?
Like leather bondage.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So when we walked in, I was like, oh, I don't belong in here. I was like, this is not my space. And so like it was all men, like older, like freaking like jack guys, everyone in like jock straps, no like their is out, smelled like bunch hot
of hairy bears.
Yeah, like jack older guys with the leather straps, the whole thing, like holsters, everything. And I'm like, oh my God, like not me. Me and the other girl, we were the only girls in there. And like just smelt like balls and butts and sweat, and they're dancing and having their fun and all this stuff. And I'm like, I want to stick with the clowns because I'm like, you know what? Like I'm invading their space. I'm in their space. Like I need to respect their space, and I don't want them to feel like I'm in here gawking at them or like leering or like watching them, because this is their safe space to like express themselves and like what they're into and all this
or
stuff.
Or like judging them.
Yeah. Judging them, which 100% I'm not. I'm like, do you? Like I'm like 100% like do what you like to do as long as you're not hurting other people. There was like a red room in there, if you know what I mean. And I'm like, damn. Some guy came up and like full force slapped my ass, and I'm like, he's like, yes, you look amazing. And I'm like,
that's the reinforcement we need.
Yeah.
It's I'm the like, reinforcement we want.
But I'm like, oh, God damn, that shit.
Don't smack my ass hard.
Literally as hard as you can. But yeah, like the girls were loving the looks. The clowns went off. It was super fun. And like, I didn't really drink that much, but in my head, I'm like, I'm smoking cigs tonight. Cause I didn't really want to drink cause I had to work the next day. And then, yeah, I'm like, you know what? I don't need to ever go back there again. Cause you know, like that place is not for me. It's not for the
girls.
You
did it. You came, you saw.
And like, I can look back on my life and be like, I lived my life. Like, I experienced it. That's all that matters. Like I went there once and that's all I need to do. And like, I think it's important to respect people in their places. And like, we're not there to leer. We're there to respect and like, whatever, do our thing. When the clowns wrapped up, I wrapped up too. I'm like, it's time to go, girls. We can't be the only clowns in here anymore.
Mm, yeah.
We went to a different bar and then.
Clowns roll together anyway.
Yeah. You can't be the only clowns in a freaking leather club. So it was cute. It was fun. I like love an experience. I love going to a new place.
I love a themed party.
Oh my God, theme party. I was thinking like I want to do a theme party for my birthday. And then I'm like, oh my God, our birthdays are so close together. We should do like
a joint birthday. It's not that serious birthday.
Bash. I was thinking that in my head. I'm like, we need to parlay this into some type of event at a place. We need to like hit up the people, the promoters, the people we know. We should do like a Y2K.
I used to do a Leo season summer bash.
That would be so fun. Because I like doing birthday parties for myself but at my house, but I'm like, we could make this like a thing.
Yeah, I used to do Leo season summer bash in the front lawn of my brother's like midtown like little old house. And it was a time. It was a blast. It was three of us. So we would do it. Yeah, I'm down. Let's get it together.
Yeah.
Let's start planning from now.
From now, we have till at least August.
When's yours?
13.
August 13th.
Mm-hmm.
How funny. It's exactly the date. Mine's the 23rd, so we can do it like on the 30th or 1st of August or something around there.
It's going to have to be after that because my sister's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
We'll offline this. Yeah. We'll offline this.
Wow, that's such a corporate term. Let's offline
we'll
this.
We'll offline this sidebar. I was just on a call earlier.
Yeah. I'm not in that world.
I had to take a conference call earlier today, and like Lena's there, and I was about to like put it on speaker so she could hear like corporate talk. It's all, it's corporate, very like
vernacular.
Boots on the ground. We're boots on the ground.
Yeah, we're going to bootstrap this up.
Yep. You're like, put you up by the grassroots. We're going to pick you up by the bootstraps with your boots on the ground, and we're going to boots boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't we're forget mobilizing. The grassroots.
Yeah, grassroots in your boots. All right. Nike Olympic track and field uniforms were released today, and it's
unveiling.
Causing, they unveiled it.
And it's causing a ruckus.
On the internet. So Lena showed this to me. Do you want to explain?
Yeah. So they unveiled the Nike track and field uniforms.
For Paris Summer Olympics. I love Summer Olympics.
For Paris Summer Olympics. And so, okay, you look at the men's. It's just, you know, bike shorts and a singlet, right? Mm-hmm. And you look at the women's and it's panties, okay? It's coochie out. It's giving labia. And the girlies, the track girlies went crazy. They said, uh-oh, my hoo-ha is about to be out. There was a long comment that discussed, like, how they say that they sat down with athletes and kind of picked their brain on what on their needs and their, you know, like a think tank for athletes, which Nike and, like, historically does, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were like, I don't know how you guys came to this. I don't know what athletes you spoke to that said that a high leg, a panty would be the way to go.
The way to go. I mean, this PH fat pussy could not fit in there.
Yeah, this PH would be fighting. I saw a comment. It was like, my labia is going to be fighting which one is... Which one is covered?
Which one's in and which one's out? Yeah. They can't be both there at the same time. They can't be in the same place at the same time.
Wouldn't be me. My vag will swallow that thing up.
God. And, like, you can't wear, like, tights underneath it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, well, they did say that they have a lot of layering options, but I don't know what that means.
This is weird because it's really not like an innovative design by any means. And this is what you came to?
It's like a swim bottom.
It is.
Which is not for
no. track. And even that, like, so I, my sisters and I grew up swimming on like a USS team, which is like, it's like, I swim with people who went on to like, go into the trials for like the Olympics. So I swam like my whole life competitively. And you would do like when you're training, you would layer a lot and all this stuff. And then finally for competitions, there were like, they were called like swim blades, I think. And it was like special bathing suits that were like really tight and they had like rubber almost on it, which would make you like faster in the water. And those things would be so far up your arse.
Really?
And your pee-pee out. And, like, you're so used to wearing, like, literally we would layer, like, these big, they're called, like, jammer shorts or something like that, that, it, like, weighs you down when you're practicing. So you have all this extra weight on you. You would wear, like, two or three bathing suits. And
when
like,
you compete.
Then you're like, whoosh.
Yeah.
So then finally when it would be a competition, you would take all that off. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm light. Naked. My pee-pee's out. Yeah.
And you also feel so light.
Yeah, you feel light. Like, yeah, it works. Light and fast. But you're also like, oh, my God, my pee-pee's out. The Nike Olympic uniform reminded me of something my husband told me recently, which is, like, the latest kind of, like, MLB drama, which is – so the MLB signed, like, a new contract for their uniforms with, like, Nike. Nike again.
With and, Nike.
Yeah, and Fanatics.
I wonder if because, like, historically, it's always been a new era for the hats, mm-hmm. right? I don't know who it was for the actual uniforms, but I wonder if the hats will stay new era.
I'm not sure, but it's, like, literally been a really big issue for this season because the men's pants are, like, literally see-through. And they were trying to say, like, oh, it's to showcase the man's athleticism. And I'm like, the only thing this is showcasing is
them buns.
Those hot bodies. You better bend over right now. Bend over down and get that ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those hamstrings are looking real juicy right now.
I know. It's such an American pastime. I'm getting a little hot. Who doesn't love baseball? They're literally see-through.
Oh. Oh, you know what they need? They need skin color Skims contract.
What they need is no underwear on.
Skin color Skims contract.
Skip the Skims.
Somebody
the panties.
Somebody call Kim.
Kim, bend over for mommy. Ooh, I'm such a pervert. You think men are bad? I'll catcall a man.
I love reverse catcalling.
Me too. I used to do that with my friend. We would go out drinking in Wynwood and we'd be like, do you eat ass? Do you eat ass? They're like, you've never seen a man blush until you scream something. And they're like, oh.
I'm offended.
I'm like, exactly. Oh my God, I left your house earlier today and I was at Lena's house earlier. I had to go to physical therapy and then come back. And in physical therapy, I have to wear like a workout outfit. And I was walking down my street and I dead ass, I got a and I was like, oh.
Tell me again.
Me? Don't scream at me.
They are quite see-through though.
I mean,
and the fact that you got to tuck your shirt in, they look like they're wearing a little skirt underneath.
I know. So I don't know how that's going to play out through the season. It's kind of been like the butt of the what is it? Like, no pun intended, the butt of every joke for like late night shows because they're really see-through. And even like these pictures that they're taking for like, you know, the pictures that they show during in between like hits or whatever.
There's no way that they tried to make it seem like it was on purpose to showcase their athleticism.
Yeah.
Ain't no way.
Apparently they're seeing hopefully by opening day they like have different pants. Opening day came and gone. Oh my God, I gotta turn into this TV and see if they still have those see-through pants on. But yeah, they have signed that big contract and it ends up it's just I don't know how these things happen.
It's really interesting to me because a lot of times brands think that they can just come in and like do these things that have been being done one specific way for centuries.
Yeah.
That they can just, you know, match the fabric tech, you know, like the fabric composition or something. And it's like, no.
Well, it's like kind of like saying like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But like, look. That's just in an interview. Look how see-through that is. Like, all jokes aside, that's like really
very see-through.
Bad.
Yeah. No, that looks cheapo depot.
Yeah. So it's like these.
It's giving Sheen. Did they have a contract with Sheen?
They're like MLB X Sheen. So Victoria Beckham announced that she will be having a capsule collection with Mango. It's launching end of April, I believe I wrote. I saw April 28th, and she just did, a Spread and Elle magazine, and yeah, she was wearing the full collection.
She's wearing her collaboration. I haven't seen much of it. I saw what she was wearing. I think it was like a trench coat.
Sorry, I think it was Vogue. Sorry.
She had like a lightweight trench coat.
It's a lot of suiting and tailoring, and then some like slip dresses.
I get that she's trying to, you know, monetize off of a lower price point customer.
Yep.
But it's also kind of like, I don't know. I think like sometimes you could lose luster like that.
Although I don't even know the demand for it because, you know, you're not really seeing people out and about wearing Victoria Beckham ready to wear.
Yeah.
Really at all. Like even red carpets.
Or do we even know about it though? I mean, no, they're not dressing anyone on red carpet.
No. When I worked at Saks, we carried it. In like the designer section and I just think it wouldn't be something that I'm like, I'm seeking out Victoria Beckham ready to wear because I love the tailoring. I love the fabrics, like the technical fabrics. Like
what is it known for?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's known for anything. It's funny. In that documentary, the Pat Fields documentary, mm-hmm. they go shopping and Pat Fields is looking through a rack and she's like, what's this? It looks like Victoria Beckham had a stroke. I died.
That's so oddly specific.
I said, oh, she tried her. Because I guess maybe it was the Victoria Beckham section of the rack. It might have been. And she goes, what is this? It looks like Victoria Beckham had a stroke.
I just feel it's kind of one of those brands that's like, it has no point of view. It's like neither here nor there. It's not like I one wish, thing.
Okay. I think that Victoria Beckham kind of has the same elusiveness as the Olsen twins. You know? Similar. Something, there's something there that like she transitioned to fashion, but like it's still a little cool. It's like still kind of like herself. Like it's not corny. It's not outdated. It's kind of like still, you know, something. There, it's something, but it's not, obviously it's not the role.
She's like definitely a very big fan of fashion in general, and I think she takes like elements of things that she like really loves from brands, and I think like her brand kind of, this is a kind of a deep cut, a lot of people wouldn't know, like Roland Marais, which is kind of like sensible women's dresses, like working lady dresses. You're like rich and you know, work at like a marketing firm or something like that. Samantha Jones from Sex and the City kind of like vibe.
Right.
So I think like that was Victoria Beckham's look for a long time. And then I think she started really getting into the look of like the row, and she started like doing that. She wears a lot of designer ready to wear like in her life. She definitely studies designers collections like very much, to the point where like she'll like see things and be like, I saw this in the lookbook and it was paired with this and this. Like she like memorizes, she knows. Yeah. Like
the which looks. Is what I like. I like people who have knowledge. Okay,
it's like appreciation
and knowledge, and are able to like hold a conversation about, you know, their interests.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could have interests and, but still just like visual interests, but not like actual like knowledge.
Yeah. And I'll say, like, if I could say one thing, like, she's got the sauce. Like, she's got the sauce.
Yeah.
Back in the day, she had a reality show of, it was like showing her coming to America when David got signed to like LA Galaxy.
Yes.
That's like her. Like, she is like really that funny. She's like really that, like straightforward, like she's hilarious, like she's super cool, super down to earth.
Yeah, I mean, in there you could see it in there in that documentary. I never finished it. I watched a couple episodes and I thought it was really cute and fun. Yeah, so I mean I enjoyed the few episodes that I saw. I thought it was really fun. Their relationship is fun. You can see they actually really demonstrate really well and like reiterate how much David Beckham is like obsessed with her.
Period. Like I don't, and like I'm, anytime I don't hear see... anything, it's like that's like it. Like what you see is that, and it's that.
And
like,
I don't obsessed. Listen, I'm not trying to put up with anything other than that. That's the standard. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My man better be obsessed with me, because I'm gonna be obsessed right back.
100%. You better be.
You hear that?
Do you hear that?
Do you hear that?
I know it's Wednesday and you're listening. You better be obsessed. God. This past weekend, or maybe it was 2 weekends ago, Madonna was here in Miami, actually, at the
Kasaya Center.
That is a bad name. She has like a section of the show where she brings out like someone, like a guest, and then I guess they kind of like judge people's like voguing and stuff, and then it turns into like a lap dance kind of thing.
That's the section where she had her daughter voguing, right?
Yeah. And then they like hold up numbers and all this stuff. But she brought out like Ricky Martin in Miami, and the scandal was that like he allegedly, apparently, he got a freaking hard on.
On stage?
On stage.
No.
During the show.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Can you imagine? I mean, like, he's an older man. Like, you cannot, like, you haven't found ways to, like, suppress disconnect. Your, yeah, suppress yeah. your erection during a show.
Yeah.
So there was like multiple angles of it that came out of like video with him like an art on.
I did not see that.
Yes. Did your mom like Ricky Martin when you were younger?
Not that I remember.
My mom loved Ricky Martin. And so when we were younger, Ricky Martin was straight.
Ricky Martin was not out the closet.
He was quote unquote straight. You know, he just like wasn't out. And I was in high school. And that was like back before you could really do anything on your cell phone. So you like they weren't so strict about having your cell phones in class because like, you know, you weren't texting or anything. And I get a call from my mom. I'm like sitting in English class. And my mom calls me and I'm like, let me answer because, you know, like what if something's happening? I might answer the phone and my mom's like, Ricky Martin's gay. She's like, Ricky Martin's gay.
She called you in the middle of class,
oh, to, class tell you? To tell me that Ricky Martin was gay. I was like, babe, what tipped you off?
That's where you get the tea from.
Yeah, my mom's like a chismosa, like through and through. Like, if you like start talking about a celebrity, she'd be like, that's where I get it from. She loved those like E! True Hollywood stories. Like, mm-hmm. I remember when I was young, like when Paris Hilton and like Nicole Richie were big, she's like, you know, they went to prep school together in New York. They go all the way back. That's how they know Kim. I'm like, why do you know that? My mom knows, like, she knows the her story.
All these facts.
Yeah.
I always used to say back in the day, that I never needed to watch the news because my grandma was the news for me. She would call me and tell me all the news.
Really?
Yeah. And I would be like, oh, wow, I'm up to date.
Like political or gossip?
Not gossip. Well, maybe some gossip, but like just what's happening. Like she would call me and be like, are you watching Miss Universo?
That, okay, for people that don't know, that's like a very big deal in like Latin.
Yeah, everyone loves Miss Universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like one of my really good friends, he's from Venezuela and he's like obsessed. He knows all the girls and we used to work together. And when like you get a lot of them that come through Miami,
mm-hmm.
you'd be like, ay, that's Miss Venezuela, like 2015, blah, blah, blah. Like that's Miss Colombia, like 2018. I'm like, yeah. Why do you know this? They're not like famous. Why do you know
they're these not? People? And also like some of them didn't win. So like, yeah. But you still know them, you know?
You know that Mark Anthony's like new wife, she was like Miss
Something.
Something.
Yeah.
And
how does he pull all these beautiful women? Because J-Lo's beautiful.
Yeah. Like,
she's not.
I think he has the sauce.
He has a little bit of the sauce. I think what it is also, I think it's that he's a little hood.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that's appealing to some women.
Yeah, it's kind of like bad boy.
Yeah, a little bad boy.
Actually, I heard vibes. Really good tea about that. Okay. Yeah. So we're all living in Miami in like one of these like crazy fancy high rises. And apparently his now wife, she was living in the building and she was like dating this like, I think he owns like a company. She was dating some other guy. And then like at the gym or some like met Mark Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hit it off and then she moved out of the guys unit and into Mark Anthony. Allegedly, that's what I heard.
That's some good tea. Isn't right that there.
Funny?
Yeah.
Like, not jumping apartments, girl. And in he's the same like mad
building.
And he's mad, crazy, and protective. Like, I wonder if it has to do with like, you know, the stuff that he's into. But he's very like paranoia. And like she came into my job once and she had like this big bodyguard with her and nobody could come near her and I'm like, sis, nobody would even know her, like you're making a ruckus. Yeah. Like nobody would care.
The Barbara Streisand
effect. Exactly. I'm like, we took a blow our nose break. And then Lena was like, oh, my pimple's showing, not to call it out, but then she's like, you're also sitting on, I forgot, I burst a blood vessel in my eye.
Yeah, so we're both on our bad sides today.
Yes, but it makes us more relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Interview magazine released their interview and cover, spring issue 554 with Rihanna on the cover.
I wanted to ask you because I thought I saw something like Mel Z bought Interview Mag, didn't he?
He bought it. Interview Mag was Andy Warhol's originally, right?
Right.
I know that he's been the editor-in-chief for like a long time, but I wouldn't be surprised.
We'll have to double check that, but I thought it was...
Is he still dating Adam... What's the designer?
In that interview, it says that he's in a different situation. He's no longer in a relationship.
Oh.
So I'm guessing not.
I read like the first half, but the imagery is really interesting. And it's like all taken, like it's like direct source, mm-hmm. like inspiration from like older pics. One of them, the nun picture is from like a Playboy cover.
Yeah. I love that Grills picture.
Yeah.
So good. This, her hair there is great.
Yeah, this one was from like a man.
I love that glossy eyelid.
I love a glossy eyelid. Like, honestly, it only works for like editorial. I don't think you can kind of like practically do that in real life. But yeah. I love that look. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Did you go through the interview?
I did. Kind of. Not the whole thing either.
Yeah. I love the way they talk because they have like a really long-standing relationship. Like
they do. They're like besties, low-key.
Yeah. They've worked together since like 2007. Mm-hmm. And I like that he said to like before he styled her. So he styled her for her first big editorial in 2007. She was 19 at the time for Elle magazine. And then he said, I saw you in the Rude Boy music video. And he was like, and that clothes wasn't it.
He but said, I hate this clothes, but yeah, I love her.
But I love her and that she'll like transcend fashion.
He said that was the moment that he kind of like spoke it into existence.
I think that's so funny to be like super upfront.
Yeah.
I liked in the interview too. He was like, what are you wearing? And she's like, I'm wearing my assistant's pants.
I saw that too. I was like, wow. But I know that they're really close. Her and her assistant, Michelle.
She has the same team that she's had for like a long time.
Yeah, forever.
I used to be like really hardcore following Rihanna, but the thing is, like, she kind of fell off posting on Instagram all the time. Like peak Instagram when she was like bad gal,
mm-hmm.
and like posting all the time. This was probably before stories existed, where she would post like all the time and celebrities weren't like so curated on Instagram. I loved her Instagram. It was really good. And she was always with Melissa, who's her best friend.
Mm-hmm. They have like, you know, just videos of them back then of just like around, like yeah, just doing dumb shit. And
Rihanna seems like very, very loyal, just from what I've heard. Like she has the same like personal shopper that she's worked with at Barney's, who now works at Bergdorf's in New York.
Oh,
when
wow.
Barney's shut down, her name is like Sonia Benz. You can follow her on Instagram, to the point where like Rihanna went to her wedding. And they go way, way back. And even I heard from a friend that used to work at Opening Ceremony, mm-hmm. in Soho, that Melissa came into the store. And obviously, like, they didn't recognize who she was. But either way, you should treat people well, like, whoever comes into the store. But apparently, they, like, mistreated her. And Rihanna was,
at Opening Ceremony?
At Opening Ceremony in New York. She's like, Rihanna's like, that's my best friend. And, like, I will never shop in this store again.
Yeah. And look at that. They closed. Look at that.
Weird, right? Did you ever go to the one in Soho? It was crazy. It was like a labyrinth.
Yeah. It was dope. I always liked Opening Ceremony, but.
Me too. The buy was cool and the actual space was really cool. It was like a tall store and it had all these different rooms and like every room had like a different theme, basically.
They were very. It's weird because I read something recently about Opening Ceremony. It was an interview, but they were talking about how like they started it and like they felt like, you know, it was a place where like even if you weren't buying anything, like you could go and just hang out and like meet people, and it was a club and
totally
all this stuff.
That vibe.
Yes, but I feel like also they were a little bit condescending, like if you weren't gonna buy anything, it was kind of like.
So I have like a biased view because the only time I went in there is like my friend that worked there. So I got treated really nicely. Yeah. And I was like, it was like hangout culture for sure. And like people hanging out like outside the store and blah, blah, blah. And like the coolest people. But totally, like, I'm sure if I wasn't there with my friend, it would have been like a different story. And my friend was like, is a so I know.
Yeah.
Rest
in peace, Opening Ceremony.
I know. That's kind of crazy. Rest in peace, Opening Ceremony. And rest in peace, Barney's.
Oh, rest in peace, Barney's.
Mm-hmm. In the Interview magazine, interview, she goes into detail about her love for the Bravo universe.
Yes. Which I text Drea and I was like, Rihanna loves Housewives. Like, I have to get back on Housewives now.
Yes, you have to. At least like Beverly Hills, or like, can someone give me some Vanderpump? I love that specifically. This is for my Bravo people out there, that she says, I mean, duh, when it comes to that Kyle and Morgan Wade are in a lesbian relationship. Period. I agree. And that she thinks that she should bring Monica back to Salt Lake City. I don't know. I don't think we should bring super fans back on the show. I know this doesn't hit for you if you watch the damn show.
It doesn't hit, but I was going to ask you what the reference to the fortune teller was. Was that?
Yes.
Ha! Housewives
That's reference? That's like triple OG Housewives. So in the first season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Camille Grammer, who was married to Kelsey Grammer, she was like this big on the show, and she thought like she was better than everyone else. She had this like, you know, Tony Award winning, Emmy Award winning husband. They had this like sprawling, it was not a house, it was not a mansion, it was an estate in Malibu, I think, or wherever. Sorry, I don't know California that well. And she always acted like way better than the other girls. And so she hired this medium to come to a dinner party she was having. Well, the medium is actually the medium from the show, Medium. It's like inspired by her.
Oh my gosh, yes, okay.
So they come and have this dinner, and the medium like starts doing readings, and people are kind of like, haha, it's bullshit. And it's this really, there's a couple fights in the Bravo universe, the Housewives universe, that are very iconic. That's a very iconic fight.
I love how you say Bravo universe as if it's like Marvel universe.
It is. It is. Girls that watch, like people that watch Housewives will be like, yes, like it's like Bravo universe, Marvel universe. Like the Avengers can rot in hell. Rotten Hell. That's a Bravo reference to Rotten Hell. So they get into a fight, kind of. It starts like this, the dinner starts going sideways. And basically the medium tells Kyle, because Kyle's like, I don't want to get read. And the medium reads her. And she was like, after your kids grow up and move out of the house, you and your husband will have nothing in common. You won't even know each other. Your husband will never fulfill you emotionally, and he will never give you what you need. Mm. And so Kyle, which is the wife, and her husband Mauricio, were a very iconically married couple, never had problems. Like, there would always be chatter that he cheated, but they were very much like together, a family unit for years and years. They were married for over 20 years. So finally, when they announce the separation and Kyle pops up with a woman that she's calling her friend and all these things, and she changed her lifestyle, she's like a different person. She seems more happy. She stopped drinking. She got really fit, lost all this weight, started getting tattoos and all the stuff after all her kids grew up and moved out.
Wow.
That's the reference to the medium, because basically like the medium
was right.
Was right. Because Kyle started saying like, I wanted more for my marriage and he couldn't give it to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Deep. You see, you gotta watch.
I'm gonna have to start. Listen, Andrea was like, the best place to start is Atlanta. I got as far as Atlanta. I just never went anywhere else.
Oh my God. You can go Beverly Hills, Housewives, which then will lead you into Vanderpump.
The thing about me is like, if I'm going to watch trash TV as far as like, just to like waste time, I'm not that interested in, I don't know, for me, it's like, I need some artistic value.
That is art. That's art. What those ladies are doing on there is art. You cannot tell me that NeNe Leakes is not an artiste and an icon.
I love NeNe. I love NeNe.
NeNe and Phaedra. Those ladies, like,
and they, I love Tardy to the Party.
Don't be Tardy to the Party. If you watch New Jersey, you would know, on display, on display. Cause I'm on display, on display, on display. Each and every day. I think about if those shows never came to life, NeNe Leakes would have, we never would have been blessed to And like that this person would have just existed
in the world.
In the world. And we never, maybe with social media or something, but like the fact that we never would have been able to experience this person
and hold her dear to mm-hmm. our hearts.
Yeah. And like all of these like one-liners, like the queen.
Yeah.
Her and Phaedra, like all of them. Like
Candy. I love Candy.
Yeah. I like Candy, but she gets a little boring. She goes, my man, my man.
She's boring, but
I like that she...
I like the fun fact that she's like the richest one of all of them.
Yeah, I always like that. I always like the richest one. They always have like the fuck you money. I like that. It's always the richest one that doesn't have to like put it out there as mm-hmm. much. And I like that she's like very self-made. Yeah. Housewives, tough, man. Tough,
gotta get on it. I gotta get... Maybe I'll do it.
Sometimes when I watch too much Housewives, I can literally feel myself in real life getting like very confrontational. And I'm like, I have to remind myself of like, not everything is like a Housewives fight. Like it's just real life and we're at work right now.
I saw somewhere a tweet where it was like a husband that was like, I don't understand why my wife wants to watch other wives get together and have brunch and just fight in different countries and different cities.
That would be my dream. If you're telling me my job is to get dressed up with glam and looks that people get to see, go to lunch, go to dinner, go on a trip, hang out.
And fight with people? You want to fight?
Like, no, I don't really want to fight, but I definitely want to like... You know,
witness it. You want to be on the side sipping
talk,
your tea.
Talk with the girls. Like, mm-hmm. you could tell me that's my job. Like, yeah, hell yeah, I want to watch that. And I want to be that. Coachella, weekend one happened. We're like moving into weekend two, right?
Wow. Yeah. Apparently, weekend two is not even sold out yet.
I think people are over it.
People are over Coachella. They were like, it's the end of an era, like the end of like the hype of Coachella.
I think it goes
the end of influencing.
Yes,
too.
I think it goes hand in hand. It goes like hand in hand with like the end of influence, the big influencer, like influencer era where influencers actually had pull, goes hand in hand with like Coachella was like what, like whatever, like Mount Olympus mm-hmm. for influencers. So if one is dying, the other one, it's like kind of like a parasitic relationship. Yeah, one can't exist without the other.
I was seeing also that that Coachella fashion has like also shifted. That before it was basically a bunch of Western inspired like outfits and
racially carnival. Insensitive mm-hmm.
yeah,
headdresses.
And, like, you know, just like festival style yeah. was very Western inspired. And then that now it's just like a kind of a concoction of a bunch of different things, but that it's like fading out. Everything's basically just fading out.
You've been to Coachella, right?
I have. I went to Coachella and I went like...
What year?
Baychella.
Oh, you went?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see her?
Yeah, I did.
Did you wait there for that long?
Yeah, I almost had like a panic attack. It was weird. I was very VIP. I had like an artist pass and
I was very VIP.
Very VIP. It's the only way I experience things. I'm sorry. I had an artist pass. We had cars, like we had car service. We had like, you know, you get golf carted around. You can like, there's like different kinds of like rest areas. There's like backstage.
Artist pass like, is the highest pass, right? Because yeah. there's like levels to.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can have like media pass, which gets you into like everything, but I think artist pass still has access to everything. Anyway, yeah, there's like different kinds of like rest areas and different kind of like lounging areas and like, you know, like the front is reserved for you basically. So yeah, it was pretty close.
Was it insane?
Yeah, it was insane. It was, I mean, it's the best way to watch any concerts. Up front. yeah, it was beautiful. I remember us underestimating like the desert, you know?
Yeah, because it gets super hot and then super cold, right?
And dusty. You get out of there and you're like, oh wow, I can't breathe. It was so packed that I was like, I think, like, I was having a panic. Like, I was going to pass out, kind of. Like, I was getting dizzy.
Because you were like this, yeah. even in the VIP?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
People,
and it was a long time just like standing.
Yeah. I had heard people that were like in general admission, they were waiting like over 12 hours standing there.
Yeah.
Like for her to come. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch the documentary?
No.
That's really good. It's really interesting. I really like seeing artists like creative process. And I like how collaborative Beyoncé is.
Yeah.
I think that's why she's so good. And I think that's why she's like the best, because she's really collaborative. And I think that's how you get the best work, is like input from all types of minds.
Yeah. Not thinking that you're the best at everything. And yeah. the only expert, you know?
Yeah.
I agree.
Was it a whole thing for your housing situation? I've heard horror stories with the housing situation. Or you were good?
I was good.
You were good to go. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we rented a house. Maybe I'll sleep here. Oh, no, you don't have a bed. Oh, there's 12,000 people staying in one room.
No, we just had a hotel room.
Yeah. My thing about Coachella is like my same mindset about moving back to New York. Mm-hmm. I will only do it if I'm very wealthy.
Yeah. Exactly. For me, like, I don't really care to go back to Coachella. I did it once. I'm cool.
Yeah. You just have to do it one time.
Yeah.
Listener question of the week. Boom, boom. We want to thank you guys every week for submitting your listener questions. Remember, you can always submit them to It's Not That Serious This Week at gmail.com or directly to our Instagram. It's Not That Serious The Pod on Instagram. You can also submit, was it a bad day or is that person just a piece of where we can read your anonymous story about a celebrity encounter and we can judge. This week's question, have you ever been ghosted?
Have I ever been ghosted? Yes, I have. I met a guy while I was bowling at, what's the bowling alley that's in the Addition?
Oh, it doesn't exist anymore, does it? There's a bowling, in the Addition on the beach, there's a bowling alley in the bottom next to the nightclub.
In the Miami Addition, yeah.
And there's an ice skating rink too.
And there's right? a little tiny, tiny ice skating rink. Anyway, I was bowling there and I met a guy, and the guy was like interested in me, and like we exchanged numbers, and he asked me to go to dinner. It was like a restaurant that was like at his building, but I didn't know that. And then we went to dinner and then I went home. And then another time he was like, hey, do you want to come over? And I was like, okay, I'll come over and hang out, you mm-hmm. know? And nothing. We just hung out and I wasn't going to get in his bed or anything. So I set my boundaries. I was like, I'm going to stay on the couch. Mm-hmm. And had a couple drinks. And then I was like, oh, you know, I'm gonna head home. And he changed his entire number on me. I don't know if he changed his number or blocked me or what, but just text just went to green just forever and ever. Never heard from him again.
Because you didn't sleep in the bed with him?
I guess. Not just like, I think he was like, oh, let's watch a movie in my bed. And I was like, I'm not comfortable with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just never, just green text. Never heard from him again.
Well, at least you didn't give him too much.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, exactly.
God, it's been so long since I've dated.
Yeah, I think I have a couple other ghosting situations, but I don't remember exactly the story. That's the only one I kind of stuck in my head because I was perplexed.
Actually, I have a really good one. My like first little boyfriend when I was like in high school, he ghosted me. We were like dating for like a year or so. And then he started like pulling back. And I was like, what's going on? It's so weird. I couldn't get a hold of him on MySpace, on AIM. There wasn't really texting back then. So like calling, and I would call his house. Nobody would answer. I was like 15 or 16.
That's good. Getting ghosted before ghosting was invented. Ghosting was ghosted.
Yeah. I think one time his mom answered the phone and was like, you need to stop calling. I'm like, this was my boyfriend. It was like my first love. I was like, oh. And then finally, like after a month of this, and I was like so depressed, like, because you know, you're hormonal, you have all these things. Like, so depressed, so sad.
You think life is over.
You think life is over. You think this is the end. Finally, like a month later, he finally got back to me and he told me. He was like, I moved to Florida.
What?
Yeah. He moved from Massachusetts to Florida with his family and he just didn't have the heart to tell me. So he just ghosted me.
What?
And I was like, so like, what are we? And then he like, I think he said like, oh, we'll like try long distance. And then he popped up with another girlfriend like on MySpace. Oh,
man.
I know.
What the hell? What was his name?
I don't want to. Because he still follows me.
Screw you, John Doe.
John Doe. Although, I don't know if they'll watch this, but they are a transgender queen now. So we love that for her.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to dead name them.
Mm.
Yeah, but they do. She still follows me.
That's very interesting. Yeah,
but I think she's happy now and living her life. Hey, queen. Yeah.
We love to see it.
We love to see people living their truth and being happy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I have a historical event for you.
What's the historical event?
On April 19th, 1963, the song Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash was released.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down.
Do you like Johnny Cash?
I don't know that I know that song.
Did you ever watch Walk the Line?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So originally it was written by his first wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recorded by his sister, Anita Carter. He went into the studio and he re-recorded it and he released it to like mega success.
He said, give me that song.
He said, give me that song. And that's why you don't know her version, because of his version.
Wait, so his first wife wrote it? Like, imagine, you know, oh, my wife wrote this song.
Well, you know what's a crazy thing is Caitlyn Jenner's second wife, who's the mother of Brody Jenner. Did you ever watch like The Hills and all that? Uh-huh. Brody Jenner. Their mother is Linda Thompson, who's like a really prolific songwriter.
Okay.
And she was like dating Elvis and she like dated like all these people. I think she was married to like David Foster. Yep. She was married to David Foster at one point, who's like a really prolific, like multi Grammy winner, like worked with Celine Dion, worked with Whitney Houston, like the greats. But yeah, Linda Thompson is kind of like that she's like this crazy songwriter. And she's like deep in the Nepo. Like all lines at some point lead back to like Linda Thompson because she's dated mad people too. We love a songwriting queen, Linda Thompson, Diane Warren. Oh. Love her. I love songwriters. I think that's the most.
I feel like I know the least about songwriters.
I love songwriters. My favorite thing is when I love a song, I go and I see who wrote it. Because I think that is the most talent. Like that you, and I love writing too. Maybe that's why.
That's probably why.
Like subconsciously, I think songwriting is like, that is like top of the top talent. Like you wrote something that everybody wants to sing. Like pop, you wrote a pop song?
Yeah.
You wrote Hit Me Baby One More Time? That's crazy, bro.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's funny. I saw that Juvenile performed with John Batiste at Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, he killed it. He's got some good breath control. And he sang Back That Ass Up. And it was not for the Coachella crowd. But any other crowd would have been going buck wild.
They weren't. They don't deserve it.
They don't deserve it. Okay? That was like New Orleans' finest. And I mean, John Batiste is super talented.
Yeah, of course.
And I just thought like, no vocals behind it.
No.
Just his vocals.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, wow, he's picking this up. Obviously, he has an earpiece in, but he's picking this up from, I don't even know what instrument it was that John Batiste was playing, but it was like one of those that you play with your mouth, but also like is like a keyboard. I'm like, damn, he's playing like a jazz version of this beat, and he's killing the lyrics.
Oh, he came out with Willow Smith.
Yeah, he killed it.
And Will Smith came out impressed. With J Balvin.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Did you see No Doubt's set? I was like,
yes.
Gwenny girl. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know.
You know, I toy with the idea of seeing some of my favorite bands from when I was a teenager, but I don't know if I want to deal with that. I saw Taking Back Sunday, played at Coachella too, and I was like, honey, put your boots on. We got to go. Ooh. That was like the tangent of all tangents.
Yeah.
All right, my lover, what are your ins and outs of the week? I'll give you a week. I mean, I'll give you an in.
My in?
Pre-planning for me. This hits really close to home this week because, you know, I thought I was like very together this morning coming because I bring the sound equipment from my house and we live like 30 minutes apart. And I came down here, we go to set up, and I did not check that I had the SD card adapter. So, you know what? We need to get better. I saw this guy that wrote this like Excel sheet of all the things he needs to pack. And then you click a little X when you pack it. I'm like, I think I need to start like getting.
Do a notes.
I got to do a notes of and all the
can,
things.
And you can tick the list.
I got to do that because
I love shared notes.
Yeah. We use shared notes a lot.
Yeah. My in is doing my laundry more scheduled. Because a lot of times I just do my laundry, like, when I feel like I need to.
But yeah.
Like, you know, like, if I do it every Sunday, then it won't be, like, a mountain of clothing.
Yes, that's so important. I'm saying this, and I don't do my laundry.
You don't do your own laundry.
Mm-mm.
Mm. No. I wish I didn't have to.
Yeah. But if I had to, I would pick a day. It is always done on the same day, though.
The issue is, like, you know, I'm working out more now. Like, I'm playing more tennis and, like, doing more cardio and things like that. So, like, now I have, like, literally workout clothes every day.
Yeah.
Which is annoying.
My suegra does my laundry and she's, like, complaining. She's like, God damn, Andrea changes a lot. She's like, I have underwear for every occasion. I have underwear for workout. I have underwear for daytime work. And I have underwear for sleep. Yeah. I change my underwear 3 times.
Yeah.
Same with my socks.
PH health.
Okay. Yes. I'm very big on that. Like, I got to change my drawers, like, the minute I get home.
Yeah.
So, yeah. She's like, what the f***, all these f***ing little underwear. My out? Technical difficulties. God. Technical difficulties all day. You know? I guess that goes back to pre-planning. Technical difficulties are out. I feel like this, like, Rodecasters are conspiring against us.
Yeah.
But
we'll get it, though.
We'll get it. You know, one day when we have our studio, we won't have to unplug things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What's your out?
My out is American Airlines and them trying to f*** with my status.
Oh, they did? What happened?
Well, I've had status forever and ever, but I guess last year I didn't reach it. And they also didn't send me
like a notice to travel more?
They didn't send me a offer, like a buy-up offer. Because usually you can, like, pay, like, $500 and just buy your status. They didn't send me an offer. Like, I didn't get an offer. Mm. So now I'm on, like, a challenge, which is, like, I have to make a certain amount of miles in the first quarter to be able to keep my status. It's a and I don't with it, and that's out for me.
I don't travel enough that to be a scenario for me, but I also don't like that for you. I hate that. It happened to me for Sephora Rouge. So in that level, I relate to you.
They didn't tell you had a big gift.
No. And then I dropped down and I'm like, I'm not spending $1,000 with you guys anymore when I can get things, like, you know, discounted by someone else. So whatever. Sephora, I use my friend's Rouge status now. So then I double don't add to, like, growing up to Rouge again because I'm using someone else's thing to get the discounts. Mm. And I missed the sale this time. Whatever. Who cares? Sephora. God. Not fuck Sephora.
Sephora has us all by the throats.
Unless you want to sponsor this podcast.
Yeah.
Then we love
when Sephora. Bad Bunny said 5,000 or 10,000 in Sephora, I was like, go off. I'm there.
When did he say that?
He said it in one of his songs. He was like, ten 5,000 pa Sephora. And I was like, ooh, he's supporting.
Damn. Mm-hmm. He said sponsor.
He said either 5,000 or 10,000 or something like that. I was like, that's a lot of money in Sephora. Mm-hmm.
That's $5,000 to $10,000 if you don't understand. What you're saying. They're like, who?
What?
Me? All right, guys. We did it again.
We did it.
We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in each and every week with us, possibly on video as well. You can follow us on It's Not That Serious, the podcast.
You can follow me at Lena Gosh on all platforms.
On all platforms. You can follow me at Drea the Angel on all platforms. You can submit your questions or your was it a bad day or are you just a piece of shit? To It's Not That Serious This Week at Gmail or It's Not That Serious The Pod on Instagram. Otherwise, we love you guys. And remember,
it's not that serious.
Join us each and every week here on the Dear Young Queen Network. And be sure to follow and subscribe to It's Not That Serious so you never miss an episode.